بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
والفجر.
By the dawn.
وليال عشر.
And the 10 nights.
والشفع والوتر.
And the even and the odd.
والليل إذا يسر.
And by the night when it departs.
هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر.
Is there in this an oath for one endowed with understanding? Is there in this an oath for one endowed with understanding? These verses have been interpreted variously. There are as many as 36 different views about the meaning of the Quranic expressions, the even and the odd. Some seek to justify their views on the basis of some ahadith. However, as a matter of fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, did not elucidate this. Had his interpretation been on record, there would not have been such divergence of opinion among the companions, successors, and later Quranic scholars as to their meaning. It appears from the context that some issue was under debate between the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the unbelievers, with the latter rejecting the former's contention. The Prophet's version is endorsed while swearing by these four phenomena. This followed by posing the question, is there in this an oath for one endowed with understanding? Verse 5. In other words, these oaths conclusively establish the veracity of the Prophet's contention. Let us try to ascertain the issue that was then under discussion, regarding which these four oaths were taken. For this, we will also have to bear in mind the theme taken up in verse 6, and which permeates the whole surah. Reflection on the verses that follow, see verses 6, makes it clear that the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the unbelievers were contending over the question of reward and punishment in the next life. The Prophet, peace be upon him, sought to establish that the hereafter was bound to take place, whereas the unbelievers denied it. In this context, we encounter an oath referring to four things. A. The dawn. B. The 10 nights. C. The even and the odd. And D. The night when it departs. The implication being that the testimony contained in this oath dispensed with the need for any other evidence to establish that the next life was bound to occur. Having established the issue and the context, let us now analyze each of these four in some detail. The first oath is by the dawn. It goes without saying that dawn marks the end of night as brightness appears in the east on the horizon. This is then followed by the next oath and the 10 nights. From the context, it appears that the reference is to the first 10 nights of a month as the crescent gradually takes a definite shape. The next 10 nights are bright ones, while the last 10 are marked by the waning of the moon and the resultant darkness by the end of the month. The next oath is, and the even and the odd. It is commonplace that even and odd numbers are divisible and indivisible respectively. The reference to the odd and the even, it seems, reinforces the idea of constant change in the universe, as an odd date is followed by an even one, and this phenomenon of odd and even dates goes on. Finally, reference is made to the night when it departs. Night is naturally followed by dawn. On studying these four phenomena together, it emerges that these underscore the truth of the tiding related to the divine reckoning given by the Prophet, peace be upon him. It is absolutely clear that the Almighty Allah reigns supreme over the universe and all of his actions are part of his grand plan. There is nothing chaotic or haphazard in the universe. Day and night appear at their appointed hours, and their natural cycle is never interrupted. The same is true with the waning and waxing of the moon. Night never stays any longer than its natural duration. There is a regular, precise cycle of dates, enabling man to work out the exact date, month, and year. Man can easily compute the seasons as well. Were man to reflect only on the regular, constant alternation of day and night, while leaving aside numerous other natural phenomena, he would realize that it is the Supreme Lord who has devised it. He has prescribed this order in view of numerous considerations for creatures inhabiting the earth. Given this, if one inhabiting this universe created by the all-wise, all-powerful Allah rejects the doctrine of divine recompense, he acts foolishly. Either he denies out of gross foolishness, unless creative power, for he regards it beyond his power to resurrect or recompense man, or he fails to appreciate his wisdom and scheme of things. Foolishly, he assumes that Allah will not call man to account, even though he has invested man with so many faculties and authorities. In either case, these unbelievers betray their own imbecility.
أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ.
Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with Ad? Have you not seen, after adducing the constant alternation of day and night as a weighty argument for affirming the doctrine of the hereafter, human history is sifted for the same purpose. The misconduct of certain communities and their resultant punishment are related in order to assert that the universe is being governed and watched by the all-wise, all-aware Lord. Apart from laws of nature, a moral law is also in operation. Moral laws demand divine reckoning. It is often manifested in human history, illustrating that the universe is under the control of the all-wise Lord. All those communities that disregarded the truth of the hereafter, God consciousness and divine reckoning caused corruption on earth. As a result, they incurred divine punishment. This constant happening in history underscores these two truths. A. The rejection of the hereafter misguides a community, culminating in its destruction. Opposition to the hereafter is tantamount to challenging and denying a manifest truth, which leads only to self-destruction. B. The divine reckoning is bound to happen. Many degenerate communities passed away without being subject to divine punishment. Justice demands that they be recompensed as well.
إرم ذات العماد.
Of Iram, known for their lofty columns. Of Iram, the Ad of Iram are also known in both the Quran and Arab history as the ancient Ad. For example, the Quran says, "It is Allah who destroyed the ancient Ad." Al-Najm 53:50. Prophet Hud was sent among them. They were subjected to divine punishment. The survivors are called Ad Ukhra. The ancient Ad are branded as the Ad of Iram in view of their being the progeny of Iram, son of Sam, who was the son of the prophet Noah, peace be upon him. The Thamud are also one of the branches of the same family, referred to in the Quran. The other branch is represented by the Arameans, who were settled in northern Syria and spoke Aramaic, one of the important Semitic languages. As the Ad were fond of erecting high structures, the Quran speaks of them as the Ad of Iram, known for their lofty columns. Verse 7. They were pioneers in this field. As to their other characteristic, the Quran informs us that Hud censured them. "What? You build a monument on every hill for fun and erect huge palaces as though you will live forever?" Al-Shu'ara 26:128-129.
التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد.
The like of whom no nation was ever created in the lands of the world. The like of whom no nation was ever created in the lands of the world. They were a leading community of their era, distinguished for their power and glory. The Quran says regarding them, "Allah amply increased you in stature." Al-Araf 7:69. As for the Ad, they waxed proud in the land without justification and said, "Who is greater than we in strength?" Hamim al-Sajda 41:15. And when you, O Ad, strike, you strike like tyrants. Al-Shu'ara 26:130.
وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد.
And how did he deal with Thamud, who hewed out rocks in the valley? And how did he deal with Thamud, who hewed out rocks in the valley? In other words, the valley of Al-Qura, where they had hewed out rocks. They were the first to employ this kind of construction.
وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ.
And with Pharaoh of the tent pegs. And with Pharaoh of the tent pegs. The appellation of the tent pegs is used of Pharaoh. It is also used in verse 12 of Sa'd and is open to several meanings. It may be a figurative reference to his armies in that his empire was based on these, as a tent stands on its pegs, or it may be an allusion to the multitude of his army tents. Wherever his army was stationed, the site was inundated with tent pegs, or it might refer to a mode of punishment he often inflicted on enemies, namely by boring pegs into their bodies. The Egyptian pyramids may also stand for tent pegs, as these have been testifying for centuries to the glory of pharaohs.
الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ
Who transgressed in the countries of the world.
فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ
Spreading in them much corruption.
فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ
Then their Lord unloosed upon them the lash of chastisement.
إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ
Truly, your Lord is ever watchful. Truly, your Lord is ever watchful. With reference to watching misdeeds, the expression mirsad, ambush, is figuratively used. The verse depicts Allah as one who lays an ambush. Whoever lays an ambush remains in hiding, waiting to surprise the enemy with a sudden attack. Unaware of the ambush, the victim is likely to come, but when he exceeds a certain point, he falls prey to the ambush. This analogy applies to the wrongdoers of the world who are spreading all kinds of mischief and corruption, unaware that Allah is watching their misdeeds. Thanks to their heedlessness, they commit even more misdeeds with impunity. Thus, they reach a limit that Allah does not let them exceed. At this point, they are suddenly seized by His scourge.
الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن
As for man, when his Lord tests him by exalting him and bestowing his bounties upon him, he says, My Lord has exalted me. As for man, criticism is now directed at people's moral degeneration. These wicked people deserve to be punished. It is against the dictates of reason and justice that such culprits should go unpunished after death.
وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا
But when he tests him by straightening his sustenance, he says, My Lord has humiliated me. My Lord has humiliated me. This then is man's materialistic concept of life. Man equates wealth, position, and power in the world with the bestowal of honor. And when he is deprived of these, he thinks that Allah has humiliated him. The fact which he fails to grasp is that whatever Allah gives anyone in this world is by way of a test. One is tested both when one has wealth and power, as well as one is in a state of poverty and destitution.
كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ
But no, you do not treat the orphan honorably. But no, the straightening of sustenance or otherwise is not an indicator of one's honor and disgrace in the sight of Allah. He takes into account only one's morals and good conduct. You do not treat the orphan honorably. This is their detestable attitude towards orphans. As long as one's father is alive, people treat him well. After the father's death, however, an orphan child is badly treated, even by his elder brothers and uncles.
وَلَا تَحَاضُّونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ
And do not urge one another to feed the poor. And do not urge one another to feed the poor. These Arabs did not urge one another to feed the needy. They did not have any concern for the hungry or the poor. Both individually and collectively, they displayed gross insensitivity on this count.
وَتَأْكُلُونَ التُّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا
And greedily devour the entire inheritance. And greedily devour the entire inheritance. The Arabs denied inheritance to women and children. For them it was the right only of males who could fight and defend. It was also fairly common practice for the most powerful among the inheritors to appropriate all the inheritance for himself, and so deprive the weak among his family. Thus we see how the Arabs had no regard for truth and justice. It did not occur to them that shares should be given to all inheritors, be they strong or weak.
وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا
جَمًّا And love the riches, loving them ardently. They did not have any moral sense to discriminate between the lawful and the unlawful. They loved only riches, no matter how they got these. Their greed was insatiable.
إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًّا دَكًّا
But no, when the earth is ground to powder. But no, it is stressed here that it is quite erroneous for man to fancy that he can act as he wishes and not be called to account thereafter. The hereafter is not something imaginary. It is inevitable, bound to happen.
وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا
And when your Lord appears with rows upon rows of angels, the verse reads as, When your Lord appears. Any motion on the part of Allah is inconceivable. The above should therefore be taken in a figurative sense. The point pressed home is that as the signs of His glory and might overwhelm everyone, there will be all-round awe. People will feel as awestruck as they are on standing face to face with the King.
وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى
And when hell is brought near that day, on that day will man understand, but of what avail will that understanding be? The part of the verse, on that day man will understand, but of what avail will that understanding be? Is open to two meanings. A. On the day, man will recall his misdeeds and repent these. His repentance at this stage, however, will be of no avail. On the day, the truth will dawn on man. He will realize the truth of the messenger's teachings. Furthermore, it will be clear to him that he committed a serious mistake in rejecting the truth. This late realization will be of no good to him, though.
يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي
He will say, Would that I had sent ahead, what would be avail for this life of mine?
فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد
Then on that day, Allah will chastise as none other can chastise.
وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٌ
And Allah will bind as none other can bind.
يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ
On the other hand, it will be said, O serene soul, O serene soul. The expression serene soul signifies the person who accepts with full conviction the one true God as his Lord and Sustainer, and who recognizes the religious faith expounded by the prophets as the true faith. He obeys all the commands given by the Prophet, peace be upon him, and willingly avoids all that is forbidden by Allah. Also, he generously donates and sacrifices all that he has in the cause of truth. He puts up with all hardship with fortitude and poise, and never regrets his loss of worldly gain. On the contrary, he feels assured that his adherence to the true faith protects him from all evil. In verse 125 of Al-An'am, this state is called the opening of one's breast for Islam.
ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية
Return to your Lord, well-pleased with your blissful destination. Well-pleasing to your Lord. Return to your Lord, well-pleased. This divine promise will be made to him at death, on the day of judgment, as he is on his way after resurrection to the grand assembly, and again at the time of divine reckoning. In some, he will be comforted and assured at all stages. So enter among my righteous servants. And enter my paradise.